manufacturer of ReadyMix.com, they complete a variety of projects while delivering the most advanced concrete in the world. A fourth-generation family business, they prioritize safety for their employees and the public. Compensation is $25 per hour minimum with full benefits. With local deliveries only, that means you're home every night. Kenster is an equal opportunity employer. Visit KensterReadyMix.com. That's K-I-E-N-S-T-R-A, ReadyMix.com for all the details.
Every great success story starts with one brave decision. And if you're one of the millions of Americans with college credit but no degree, one brave decision is all that stands between you and the future you want. At Maryville University, we know returning to college takes courage, but your decision isn't really about going back to school. It's about moving forward. And we'll be with you every step of the way. Let's be brave together. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
This is Mariah, third generation at Newsetters Fine Jewelry. Buying an engagement ring can be intimidating. At Newsetters, we ensure complete understanding of your purchase. We offer a choice in both lab and mine-grown diamonds and are able to work with any budget. Let our family help educate you on your choice at Big Ben and Doherty Ferry or at wowdiamonds.com.
Shop local for all of your medical and sanitation supply needs with family-owned St. Louis staple, Bertarelli Cutlery and Supply. Work with Marco and his family directly, and they will handle your order. Masks, hand sanitizer, sanitizing wipes, disposable gloves, thermoscanners, and more. Everyone is getting back to work, and Bertarelli Cutlery can customize your plexiglass dividers for your workplace. Contact Marco directly by emailing marco@bertarellico.com or calling 314-323-0712, and he will take your order and take care of you.
The Village Bar is open Monday through Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. for curbside pickup, and the dining room is now open. Get a couple burgers for yourself, or their quart-sized chili is perfect to feed the entire family. Located at 12247 Manchester Road in De Pere. To order, call 314-821-4532.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
Hey there. So, it's been 24 hours. Got my money?
Oh, you know what? Just give me till next Friday. I'll have it for you.
Oh. Oh, that's funny. I could have sworn I said have it today.
Yeah, I don't have it. Sorry.
Oh. Well, all right then.
Ah!
Yeah, that hurt?
Ah!
That hurt?
What the hell?
Yeah, that feels so good, does it?
Ah!
No, huh? Yeah, that's what happens, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what happens. Where's my money? You gonna give me my money? Where's my money, man? Where's the money? Hey. Yeah, you like that? That feel good? That feel good?
What the hell?
It's Stewie and Brian.
Where's the money, man? Where's my money?
Got it. Got it. Got it. Sorry, everybody.
You got till 5 o'clock. You hear me? You got till 5 o'clock.
Brian Stolten. If I
ever have a... Stewie loved Brian.
I didn't realize my mic was on when I said I only had one ear. You know, that's when it's good that you don't curse.
Right.
I could have said, hey, I've only got one effing ear. And then the show would have been over.
Oh, that would have been the greatest day.
Well, that would be the first...
That just happened to the Cincinnati Reds announcer.
Yeah.
They say
last week,
F?
No, but he said another F word that got him suspended.
Oh, the F-A, yeah. Cigarette. The
The word I use for a cigarette.
Is that a British cigarette thing?
I'm going to
go out and
I'm going to go and have a fag.
They say I'm going to go blow a fag, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about blow a fag.
No. I've heard it that way.
I used to say, let's go outside for a fag. That was...
I've heard drag a fag, like take a drag. The point is,
interesting
that over there it means cigarette, and here it's not.
Something else.
Well, over there they call gay people cigs.
Come on, no rim shot? Are you kidding me?
Well, I don't hear it. I don't hear a rim shot. I don't hear it.
The music, maybe. I thought that was pretty good.
Then it was good, but we can't ever let Tim know that. Okay. You can't let him know something's funny. Then he'll keep doing it. Well, here we are again, and it's hot, and that's okay. There are worse things. We could be flooded. We could be in Louisiana. We could be. We're living not in the hurricane country. You ever been in a hurricane? I was in years and years ago, San Juan or somewhere on a cruise or vacation, and they made a big announcement, and I wasn't there like in the middle of the hurricane, but I got to see, you know, when you watch TV and you see the gigantic waves slam again, I got to see that and kind of stand close enough that I got covered. And I thought, yeah, I'm out of here. This is when, if I lived here, I'd go,
see you on a ship?
Or we just got an office ship.
Oh.
And this morning, I told these guys this morning on the way in, I'm just kind of flipping around the different news channels and there's a woman, and they're interviewing her, and she's, I don't know, Louisiana, Texas, whatever. And she said, in that Louisiana accent that I don't do, she said, well, we're just praying to the good Lord that we don't get flooded like we did last time. And I thought, well, hold on a second. If I'm sure last time you prayed not to get flooded, but you did.
She didn't pray hard enough.
Maybe that's it. Could pray longer. You had a two-minute prayer. Mm-hmm. You needed a three-minute prayer. I don't know. You get in big trouble if you start to, in any way, question or criticize people's beliefs or
their faith.
Their perception of what prayer is, God is, whatever, but. In my life, it seems to me that, you know, when somebody says, well, God's will be done, do you need to say that? I mean, he's God. So if his will is going to be done, he doesn't need your permission or you're okay. You don't need to say to him, God, I want your will to be done.
That's okay.
Probably what's going to happen anyway.
God's AM and the PM.
I think he is. I'm serious. I think he is.
Just in case.
Yeah. That's big a sense guy. Of humor.
And then
what's up, big guy?
And then they'll interview.
Be funny if he's a little guy.
Well, we'll never know.
You might know.
No, we'll never know because to know we'd have to go to heaven.
Yeah.
I don't think we maybe aren't going to make it. So we may not.
I think at least two of us will make it.
I think I'm going to heaven.
I wouldn't include you.
I actually think I'm going.
I don't know.
No, come on. I do.
I wouldn't include you in the two.
and then there'll be a bus accident. Some kids headed for camp and tragically there's an accident and yeah, some kids get killed and
when you're always at like a funeral and the priest always says, I guess it was just God's time to call him home to the flock and all that stuff.
It was God's will.
God's will.
It wasn't God's time.
No, not God's. It was just his time.
There'll be that bus wreck, and then there'll be a mother who goes, well, this is proof that God's prayers are answered. When I heard about the accident, I thought, oh, no, my child's on that bus headed for camp. Please, Lord, let him live. And the prayers were answered. Well, what about the prayers of the other people who said the same thing?
You know, if you Google famous philosophers' images, it comes up with all the big ones, you know. I mean, all the Aristotle and Einstein and everybody in between. Every one of them looks creepy. There ain't a good looking member of the bunch, and that's in the history of time. You can't be a philosopher or a trend setting scientist who discovers something unless you look creepy.
Look at Albert Einstein.
I know,
his hair, like he stuck his finger in the light socket. I mean, I think you're right. They look like Emmett Brown, Back to the Future.
Yeah. There's one named Arthur Schopenhauer who lived in the late 1700s, and to describe, he's like bald 75%, and he's got a full head of hair, and it just completely sticks out like a clown's head behind him, you know, with the beard that comes down to the edges of the chin, and then the chin is shaven clean, you know. Looks like something out of Stephen King's It. It's like It's cousin.
And they had to deliberately want to look that way. Your hair doesn't grow that way with a clean chin. You got
to
do it.
I just got to think that nobody else, not a lot of people, even in his era, probably look like that. So to sell the fact that you were smart and eccentric and maybe a little higher power of knowledge than anybody else, you had to almost look the part.
Like if they could have been on the phone, but they couldn't because there were no phones. So let's say the guy on the other end goes, yeah, but are you really smart? Are you a genius? He'd go, oh, well, wait till you see me. You'll see. And then he has to show up looking like a genius.
I mean, pictures of Karl Marx, for example, his hair, all of his hair is white. I guess hair dye had been invented when he lived in the 1800s. His hair is all white, but he would dye that mustache black.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
Look, you've seen those guys with like black eyebrows and their hair is white. And some people they do that. They have like, it's weird. Their eyebrows are coal black and their hair is white.
Eugene Levy was like that,
wasn't he? Yeah. Or the opposite. They have white eyebrows, but their hair is not white.
There was a basketball player at the University of Kentucky when I was broadcasting in that state, and he's in the NBA right now. His name's Anthony Davis. He has the longest wingspan of any, I think, of any player in NBA history. His wingspan is 13 basketballs wide because they did a poster of it.
Wow.
And he has what's called a unibrow. His eyebrow starts here and goes all the way across the head.
I know that guy.
I mean, it's all the way across. And he's the only human being I've ever seen to have that.
Yeah. Here's an interesting...
I've seen a lot of Indian girls with that, actually.
Indian girls?
Yeah. They're like the sequins, I think. Or
dot or feather.
The ones that live in India, the country.
Yeah.
Dot.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's a legitimate...
It's not. It's pretty racist.
No, it's not.
Why don't you just do that?
Which one? That's not racist. That's just a stick. What?
I said cheese, rap boy. I said cheese.
He said cheese. Not cheese.
God.
So...
This guy.
Yeah, you know, and this is true. This is not a joke. Do you know the reason we have eyebrows? Now, we discussed this and...
To protect our eyes from, like, dust, dander and stuff?
No.
Sweat?
Nope. Water shedding. Your eyebrows shed water. If water comes down your forehead, it'll go left and right off the edges of your eyebrows instead of falling right into your eyes.
Oh, wow.
That's what eyebrows are. You don't have
eyebrows, so do you get sweaty eyes?
Yes, I do. I get wet. Yeah. My eyes have almost drowned five times.
Oh, my God.
I have no eyebrows, so the water just runs right into my eyes.
Somebody help me, please!
He starts sweating, and his eyes are going, hey,
well, doctor, what was it? Well, his eyes drowned. He got in the rain, and his eyes drowned because he didn't have any eyebrows.
Yeah. Help me, I can't see, and I'm drowning.
Welcome to the show. And no, it doesn't get any better than this. This is kind of it. Here's the only thing that makes today, and for some people, today is a great day. Maybe you got a raise today, a promotion, a new job, it's your birthday, whatever.
Or you got some.
None of those things. Am I getting a promotion?
No. But for everybody else who thinks, this is just another day, it's not a special day, you're wrong. You're wrong because this, the 25th of August, is another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Now, if the volume on that sounded low, it's because we're at half speed here, one channel. We were hoping to have that fixed by the day. We were having some issues, but Limey's on it, so it'll be taken care of. So welcome to the large morning show in the afternoon. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
All right. Tim Woodburn.
Thank you.
And I decided I want to change something.
Okay.
In the Playhouse, when I get the Tim's introduction, I go newsman, head of research, and just hit the thing. I'm not going to do I can't remember anymore. I just decided I'm tired of that.
Okay.
Oh, there's one other thing. I can't remember what it is. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of it myself.
Okay. Got you.
So I'll just go, and he's, the Rockford. And now here's Tim Wood.
There is a conspiracy theory running amongst the owners of Surf and Sirloin Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there for dinner last night because I was craving their crab cakes. And their co-owner, Harry Karagiannis, came over and he sat down and spoke with me.
Harry Karagiannis?
Karagiannis.
Oh, I thought his name was Harry
Karagiannis.
I did too.
Hey! Hello! Hey, we got crab cakes!
Welcome to Surf and Sirloin!
Hey, Harry, this beef tastes like it's some kind of religious beef, is it? Yeah, it's holy cow!
he was so drunk on the air one time that
Harry Karagiannis?
Harry Carey.
Oh.
Not Harry Karagiannis. Oh. He's drunk off the air. No, he's not, actually.
He's kidding.
I actually saw this live, and then somebody actually told the story at his eulogy. Because, you know, Harry liked to get drunk on the air.
What?
Kind of like somebody else we know, right, Dan?
Hi!
And I was watching this game when he did this, and Harry Carey was working with Steve Stone, and he goes, "Well, there's a fan over there enjoying a cold frosty bow. Hey, there's a line drive to third, Costa on the second out on the first. Oh, it's a triple play." And Steve Stone goes, "No, Harry, they just struck out George Hendrick. They're just throwing the ball around the horn."
He was so drunk, he thought there were two guys on base and that the ball had been hit, and they were throwing it around to get a triple play, and actually somebody had just struck out, and they're throwing the ball around the horn.
But you know what? And knowing as little as I do about sports, people loved Harry Carey. I mean, that's what they liked about him.
One of my Facebook profile photo for years was a photo of my father and I standing next to the Harry Carey statue inside Harry Carey's restaurant in Chicago,
yeah,
where he would go every night and sign autographs for fans every night.
Yeah.
And literally until almost the day the guy died.
They loved him.
I love Steve Stone, too. Steve Stone went, "You know, Harry." Always had that whine.
But again, like anything else, character. You can be a great sportscaster, and you can have a good afternoon, everybody. It's a beautiful day for baseball. But you need a character. So Dizzy Dean. You remember who Dizzy Dean was?
Yeah.
He was a baseball player. Was he a pitcher? I don't remember. But he also then became, he and Pee Wee Reese used to call.
Who are these people?
They called baseball games.
Old baseball
and
players.
And when I go to when I go to my uncle's house, you'd start to say, "Hey, Uncle Bill, shh." Because Dizzy and Pee Wee were talking. Not the game was good, but they were talking. And Dizzy Dean, for as little as I know or remember, I remember as a kid thinking, this guy is hilarious because he had a southern accent, and mm-hmm. he would just break out singing Wabash Cannonball.
And horrible grammar.
Dizzy Dean used to get piles of mail from English teachers around the country saying, "Mr. Dean, we're trying to teach our children proper grammar, and then they watch baseball, and you just destroy everything." Oh, yeah, that was actually an issue, but not a big enough issue for them to let him go because people loved him.
People loved him, and it got to the point where it's sort of like in a different way, you and your fan base and your shtick and your motif, and that he could almost say he could say anything and get away with it because he would do things that no other broadcaster would do. Like I remember one time, I just wrote this down. I remember one time he was on the air, and he used to do this all the time. He'd go, "Pitcher for the Cardinals is Omar Olivares. You know what Olivares sounds like backwards, Stoney? Serafino." And he would do that. What does the player's name sound like backwards all the time? No other broadcaster in my lifetime has ever done that ever.
And who cares? Except it was funny. And when Dizzy Dean would sing, look, I don't know the song. Wabash Cannonball. I don't really know the song, but the first time I ever heard it, and I'm sitting there thinking, why is a baseball announcer singing the Wabash Cannonball? Just because it was funny, and he liked the song. So if there was a lull in the game, he'd start singing.
Oh, yeah, and eventually Steve Stone caught up to him, because I remember when the Blackhawks played the Pittsburgh Penguins in the Stanley Cup Finals, and Mario Lemieux was the star player for Pittsburgh. And Steve Stone go, "Hey, Harry, the Pittsburgh Penguins are in town tonight for Game 3 of the World Series. You know, their star player is Mario Lemieux. How do you say that backwards, Harry?" And Harry go,
"Quit asking me trick questions like that."
Because it would start with an X, right?
Right.
Yeah, see, gotta have characters. And those same people... And I don't mean this in a disrespectful way. If Mike Shannon, right now, with his delivery, went mm-hmm. to apply to get a job as a sportscaster, after three words, they'd go, "Next!" He wouldn't make it, because they don't understand his history with this town. That over time, people love mm-hmm. Mike Shannon.
Yeah.
No, he's not a great announcer. He didn't have to be.
I'm down to handy 48 pick, and I'm ready to go.
Turn Mike's microphone off. I didn't realize we had the stadium mic on.
Yeah, sorry.
Anybody else? Anything else?
What I was going to say, where this originated was Harry Karagiannis sits down with me last after dinner. We sat there and talked for about a half an hour, and I asked him for an iced tea to go. And he goes and brings me a foam cup with a lid on it and a straw for my iced tea, and the lid didn't fit the cup. I said, Harry, I said, you know this lid doesn't fit this cup. It's too big, right? It wouldn't clasp on. He goes, I know. He goes, we're having a real big problem with our Restaurant Depot. I said, or with Sam's. Right. I said, what do you mean? He goes, let me tell you what they do. My brother actually considered filing a lawsuit. Here's what they do. They sell these jumbo size cups, and then they sell these jumbo size lids, and then they figure out what's selling first, the cups or the lids. And if we're running out of cups, but we still got all these lids, then they'll go buy different size cups. So when you buy cups and the lids, then the lids don't fit, and then you got to go back and buy special order lids. He says they're switching up on purpose, like three times in the last. He is a conspiracy theorist, and he thinks that Sam's is trying to scam people out of buying cups and lids that are different sizes, so they have to buy both sizes to be able to serve their customers. Yeah. And instead of him doing that, he served me a cup with the... What if I would have been customer B? I mean, he served me a wrong size lid on my cup. I'd taken it out to my car and it was spilled.
Yeah. Well, this may cost me a complimentary Oysters Rockefeller, but Harry, that's not what they're doing.
I was going to say, Harry, I don't... And he goes, I'm not really the conspiracy. My brother Spiro, he's the one that's really, you know, he's the one that he'll talk your head off for 2 hours about the conspiracy to screw us over on that. And I'm thinking, you know, both of them are really nice guys, but sometimes you just got a little too much time on your hands. Mm. Sometimes you got a little
to think about stuff like that.
Whether or not sometimes you just have to kick back.
From the greatest Atlantic Ocean to the wild Pacific shore.
Now that's Roy Acuff.
Yeah.
Okay, listen. Wabash Cannonball, Roy Acuff. Go ahead. Turn it up.
And some men known quite well by all.
Oh.
She's the combination of the
Wabash Cannonball. That's the song that Dizzy Dean liked to sing, but that was Roy Acuff's sort of theme. He's one of the charter members of the Grand Ole Opry. Was there anything else?
Not for me.
Anybody else? Berkside?
No.
No?
No.
No. Well, I hate to hear that.
Let's
close her down. Berk segment is officially closed. But you, ladies and gentlemen, are not closed. You're not shut out. You can call us. You can call us now. You can call us next hour when Dan Buffa gets here and we talk about all things movie related. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. I see that Chris is already on here. Chris, this has got to be exciting for you to be our first caller today. Welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Good, thank you. AM and the PM.
Thank you very much.
Hey, I got a quick question. Earlier this year, you guys were talking about, like, if your bills go up for your satellite or cable, and Tim had mentioned you just call, or once you get a hold of somebody, you ask them directly for, like, the customer
loyalty department.
Okay. I didn't know what it was.
If you've been a long-time customer, you say, you know, threaten to go to Charter, threaten to go somewhere else. Is this the very best offer you have? And then say, well, before you send me to your cancellation department, can I speak to somebody in your loyalty department?
Now, see, I don't remember that we talked about.
We did.
I did.
Huh. Because, wow. I did. Because you even said you got emails from somebody that said, thank Tim for saying that. I just saved $600.
I have no memory. You know
that.
I have no memory.
I know you don't.
Now, how come when they give you all your options for press 3, they never say for the loyalty department?
Because they don't want you to know about it.
They don't want you to know about that. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess
but,
so.
Nope, That's all I needed. I appreciate it. Thank
well,
you.
We appreciate you. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for all calling.
I think I might do that.
Has anybody watched any of either the just finished Democratic convention thing or the Republican first night last night?
I haven't watched
any of it.
Single bit of it. Nope.
I wonder how many people don't watch either. I'll bet you it's a big number. I'll bet you that most people don't pay any attention to either one of them.
I cannot stand it. Honestly, I would not watch any of it. I don't care about any of the TV shows I used to watch because they all reference or make fun of either politician.
Well, here's the thing.
I don't want to hear it.
If you watch the Democratic convention, and I watched a considerable amount of both, by the time you're finished, you're going, all right, Joe Biden, well, that's our guy. And then if you watch the other, you go, okay, screw him. Trump's our guy. Because right. they're both so convincing. Arguments are so convincing that then you're just, you know, you're confused.
Honestly, it's going to be fun to watch these two debate each other. Like, this
I don't know that you're going to debate.
I don't think they're going to, but I would love to see it.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't know why it wouldn't happen.
Would it be a virtual debate?
Here's why. Because I don't think what are we doing? Look what we're doing. But that's okay, because it's a big deal now. And we're not, and we're close. We're getting close. I don't think so, because I don't think the Democratic Party wants him to debate Trump. Because whether you like Trump or don't like him, you want to get into it with him? I don't know. I don't think so. I think you're probably better off not to debate him.
But if they do a debate, would it be like a Zoom debate?
No, I don't think so. They'd be on opposite ends of the same stage.
They'd have to.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what. If they do debate, I would watch that.
I'll watch it.
I watched the conventions, but I would watch the debate. And election night is must-see TV. That's like the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
To watch that.
Yeah.
I remember falling asleep on my couch in 2016 thinking that Clinton was just going
to
kill him.
You know, I was with it to the end.
I'll just watch this until they declare. I'll try and stay. I was tired. You know, it was a week night, you know, and a whole bit. And all of a sudden, in shocking and stunning fashion, I'm like, dreaming, kind of falling in and out of sleep, you know, and I'm like, am I dreaming this? Did I just hear Trump won this day?
I remember the next day.
I remember turning over and sitting up and said, crap, I better make some coffee and watch this. What's going on here? Right? You know?
I couldn't leave it. I stayed right to the end till it was like, absolutely clear. Winner, Donald Trump. I stayed to the end.
I was working overnight that night. I was in the news department, and I remember just the next day, it was 6 o'clock, and I was walking out of my vehicle just, you know, ready to, I guess, end the day. And I just kind of sat there for a few minutes just thinking, wow, he did it. He actually did it. Like, he really did.
And what was so stunning was he did it after pretty much everybody said. No, there's no way.
Everybody laughed at him. Anybody who went on TV and publicly said Trump's going to be the next president was mocked and was ridiculed. And then he did it. And then he won.
Go back and watch the video where Ann Coulter is a guest on some show.
I think it's the Bill Maher show.
Whatever. They kind of went around the room. Now, this is well before the election. And said, we know it's a long way out, but next election, what do you think, man? And she said, well, I think Donald Trump will be president. The room erupted. Mm-hmm. I mean, with explosive laughter. Mm-hmm. They laughed her under the table when mm-hmm. she said that.
And he got through.
It's fun to go back and watch.
Do you think Ross Perot would have had a really good shot at being president if he wouldn't have picked Admiral Stockdale for his running mate?
No, I don't.
Ross Perot, what year was that? I don't remember Ross Perot.
Oh, that was... Who was he running against?
Goodness.
Because he was really, really popular.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You and I own this country.
He self-funded his own campaign.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Trying to think of he just died last
year. He
get
up with homemade charts. He was very entertaining to watch. You know, here's the United States of America, and here's the rest of the world. Here's how much we contribute, here's how much they contribute. Let me tell you something. You and I own this country. We're the ones making the decision, not anybody. And you go, this is the most entertaining guy I've ever seen in my life. And a lot of what he said made sense. It's just that the way he did, you kept waiting for him to say, excuse me a minute, take another breath of helium, and take some helium, and then come back to the microphone and keep talking. And the best impression of Ross Perot, and you can go back and pull it up on YouTube, Limey, is Dana Carvey as Ross Perot.
He ran in 92.
Wow. Dana Carvey.
Okay.
92.
Every president, there is somebody who does the best impression of them.
Did you ever take an economics class ever in your life?
No.
Okay.
No.
I have to take a couple. Okay. Not yet, though.
I took one in college, and it was so, because Ross Perot ran for president in 92, and I graduated college in 91. And in 1990, I had an economics professor, and he talked just like him.
Like Ross Perot.
But he was talking economics. Yeah. The basis of economics is, okay, well, here you got your guns, and down here you got your butter, okay? Now, the more guns you buy, the less butter you can make. Yeah. The more butter you make, the less guns you can make, okay? Yeah. And that's just simple economics right there. And that's the way he talked.
Simple economics.
And it was just, I mean, economics is so boring to me, but this guy, the guy that that taught that class, and Dan and I were just talking about good and bad teachers
before
the show.
Yeah.
Well, it was just entertaining.
Look what you just remembered—the whole butter guns thing.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
You would never remember that.
I think every economics professor starts off day one with the guns and butter.
Butter and guns.
Yeah.
Chapter one.
I mean,
chapter one. Butter and guns.
That's it.
Yeah. Butter and guns.
We have a couple of calls. I'd love to talk to these people, whoever they are. Let's start with Dave. Dave, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I am AM in the PM.
Well, listen how proudly he says that. Thank you.
Hey, I was just wondering if you guys saw the broadcast, I think it was yesterday, on Fox 2 News about the NFL. They had 77 false positive COVID-19 tests out of one lab in New Jersey.
On one team.
77 false?
What sports league is this?
What is false?
NFL.
Oh, false positive. They
Yeah,
they said they're, but they weren't. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Wow. Yeah, if that was in one lab or a customer like the NFL that was spending big bucks to have this done, can you imagine what's happening in labs all across the United States of America?
Dave, you and I are on the same page, but you do realize that you can talk, as our parents used to say, till you're blue in the face. But there will be people who still won't believe that these numbers are inflated and are not accurate, and we're just kind of floundering around here, blind leading the blind. It won't do you any good. And there are people who don't even believe a story like that is true. They say, well, that's just urban legend. That's not true.
But then they were tested again, right? Is that what happened?
Yes.
Yeah, you have to be tested. You have to have two negative tests in a row to call it a false positive.
Yeah. Okay.
So the second one, they came up negative, right? Is that the story?
Two more, I guess.
Oh,
yeah, it's on their website.
Wow.
I just found it really strange, and all that with the county closing down our temporary morgue that they spent $2 million on refrigerated trucks and everything in Earth City and apparently didn't really use.
Mm, wow. Wonder why. Oh, yeah, because there weren't as many people dying as they said would die.
Well,
that's why.
I give a pass on that, though, because what if the hospitals had been overflowed and we hadn't had that? People would have erupted on the complete opposite side. I realize it cost $2 million.
I understand. I get that. Dave, anything else?
No, I just wanted to say that, and it's a hot day, but the cool days are coming, and I'm looking forward to fall, and I just hope this election gets over with as fast as it possibly can.
Well, amen. You and most everybody else. Thank you, Dave.
All right, have a great day.
It's so funny because I have friends of mine, and they say this half tongue-in-cheek, I cannot wait until this election's over so this COVID thing will go away. They think the election is just going to be the end-all of
I honestly just want to get to November and just see what's coming up for 2021. Like, after this year, this has been an exciting year. Whether, I mean, a lot of good and a lot of bad. Oh, it's been a lot of terrible stuff.
Exciting.
It has been interesting.
That's the word you'd use for this year, is exciting?
What else? I don't know. I use the word
2020. I use three words. You're from hell.
Yeah, of course, but, like, I'm not saying, like, you know, good or bad. I'm just saying, like, objectively here, there is always something going on. Every single time you look at the news, you're just like,
depressing.
Oh, Christ. Well, yeah, of course, it's depressing.
But this year in particular is just the worst.
It's been terrible between
the COVID and all the cities that are being burned to the ground by these lunatics. I mean, those two things alone make this year like I've never seen a year
this show, and I say this with all truth, this show has been the only positive or fun thing that occurred in my life between March and the end of July.
Yeah. What a great testimonial to the large morning show in the afternoon.
My ability to interact with my family went to crap. Sports went to crap. Entertainment, travel, everything, all went to crap. March through July is probably the four worst months of my adult life.
I think a lot of people would agree with that.
Yeah, probably.
Look at all the people who weren't allowed to, in person, say goodbye to not just a relative who had COVID, but anybody in the hospital who was dying.
Yeah.
All the weddings that were canceled, all the events and everything that was postponed and held off.
Look, what if you're a concert promoter and you just started to make it big as a concert promoter. Let's see, what concerts do you have on the books now? None. Cancel.
Or you're a new band and you're back in like January or something.
Or you get the word you're going to open. Hey, you're going to open for John Mayer. No, you're not. You're not open for anybody.
Right, canceled.
Dan, can you imagine if your mom's accident would have happened in March?
Oh, no. Oh,
and not being able to see your visitor or to have any kind of contact with her whatsoever?
Yeah, we wouldn't have been able to.
It would have been awful.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter just had a baby. You had Theo before all this crap.
Yeah, just before.
And normally when somebody has a baby, well, all the family members come by, always they hold it. No. One visitor, initially, if I understood correctly, it was one visitor per day. So who is that going to be? Well, it's going to be her dad, my son-in-law. So most of the family never got to see her till she got home. And that's okay. That's not the worst thing that could happen to anybody. Because the truth is, I think people overdo that. I think they don't give the couple any space when they're in the hospital. Here comes Aunt so-and-so and Uncle so-and-so and the in-laws and the brothers. Give them some breathing room. Well, this way they had it. But at the same time, it was just, I don't know, it's just the whole year's way.
I actually got to see her only because my mom was in the hospital.
Yeah, you happened to already be there. Dan saw my granddaughter before I saw her. He did.
Leaving the hospital.
Let's go to who's next? John or Billy? Billy.
Go to Billy.
Billy, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you, Billy?
Greetings and salutations. I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you for that. What's up?
I'm referencing the great comedians and impressionists who did political satire, and there was a gentleman by the name of Von Meter.
Von Meter, let me stop. Do you mind if I just, because it's not often I get to sound like I know something. Von Meter was the greatest John F. Kennedy impressionist ever, and issued a series of albums called the First Family Albums. And they were runaway hits. He sold millions of them. And I'll let you take it from there.
Yes, indeed. I was going to say that. And also, he was big on the Playboy Club circuit, the Las Vegas circuit, and the Ed Sullivan Show, the really big shoe.
Yep.
Unfortunately,
on
November 22nd, 63, his career abruptly ended.
Von Meter was in such demand, He couldn't even keep up with the bookings. Everybody wanted Von Meter because a lot of America had one of his albums. And on the albums, if you remember, Billy, the albums were actually hilarious because what they did is they had somebody who impersonated Jackie and somebody who impersonated Lyndon Johnson, the vice president, and they would put them in hilarious, ridiculous situations like John F. Kennedy pulling up in the presidential limo to gas up at a gas station. I'd like $2 worth of a regular, please. And then he was just that sort of thing. And then you're right. The assassination, that guy's career, that second was over. All the bookings canceled because you can't do comedy bits as John Kennedy when he just got assassinated. And how in the world, you never could see that coming. But it did.
Yeah. He was a very fascinating guy, and I enjoyed his comedy. And it was just a shame that he didn't have a
backup
alternative activity to play to.
You're right. He was a one-trick pony. His bit was, I do a great John Kennedy. That was it.
Oh, man.
That was my only comment, and I enjoy your program immensely, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Billy. As opposed to Daryl Hammond, who can do lots of different characters, and more than just Bill Clinton, and he's a mental mess. Watch that documentary on Netflix called Cracked Up. And over the years you've had, well, here, look at Frank Caliendo. I've never heard a guy's voice sound more identical to George Bush than Frank Caliendo. If you're on the phone, you don't know it's not George Bush. And our guy, Dan, Paul Drake, used to call us Reagan.
Yes.
You'd swear Ronald Reagan was on the phone and back from the dead.
He was unbelievable. Those two.
Let's go to, and I got to do a little business, and then we'll get back to the phone. Let's go to John, I guess. John, I think we know who you are. Welcome back. How are you?
Yeah,
Yeah, how you guys doing there? I'm Amy and the PM.
Doing great there. How you doing there? What's up there?
Hey, is your political? Who's the political junkie there? Who's the political expert there on your panel?
I don't believe we have. We don't have. We don't have. We don't have one.
Nope.
No, not this show. We don't have one.
The four of us together would be one quarter of a political expert.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe Scott Sherman.
At best.
That would be me, John. I am a political junkie.
Okay, turn Tom Brokaw's mic off. So, John, the answer is no, none of us.
Okay, well, whoever your pseudo-political analyst, I was wondering, when Mike Pence goes up against Kamala Harris, is he, you know how he's not supposed to have any woman in the room other than his wife? Is his wife going to be with him when he debates Kamala?
John, John, we've allowed you to keep calling. I don't know why. We kind of like you. But sometimes you ask questions that are... beyond ridiculous. That's a ridiculous question. How could we know if Pence's wife is somewhere off camera in the room? We can't know that.
Frank,
and what's that
Frank,
role about?
I just texted Mike Pence and he just texted me back. He said, "Tell John no."
Okay, there you go. That's probably the shortcut to end that. The answer is no. Anything else, John?
Yeah, I want to ask you guys a question real quick. Besides non-political, is there a bowling Hall of Fame and chess Hall of Fame in St. Louis? I was just trying to see. Did they still have that here in St. Louis?
The Bowling Hall of Fame moved out of St. Louis, and I can't remember where it went to, but it moved out of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. The chess one is
the chess
Central
Hall of
West
Fame
end.
Is here. Yeah, down in the Central West.
There's a place I won't be going.
It used to be across from the old Bush Stadium. It's now in the Bowling Hall of Fame. Used to be across from the old Bush Stadium. Now it's in Texas. Yeah. But the chess Hall of Fame is in St. Louis.
Okay, and is there any other Hall of Fames? Like, do they have a dog Hall of Fame also too?
They do.
We did have the dog Hall of Fame, and I think it also left St. Louis.
Okay. Hey, Mr. Craddock, thanks a lot for allowing me to be.
It ran away,
Mr. Craddock.
What was that?
That was my phone.
I don't. What?
That was my. I was talking to Dan. Sorry.
Here's what we're gonna do. We're not taking John's calls anymore.
Okay.
I told you that 6 months ago.
I think he's a plant
to try and embarrass you.
But he can't embarrass me.
Well, but he's trying.
But he can't.
I think somebody is listening and enjoying a cocktail while their buddy, quote unquote, John calls you, and I think they get off on trying to make you awkward.
But I'm okay with that. And
why?
And it hasn't worked. Well, it hasn't worked. It's not going to work. But John just did one little thing to trigger my wanting to say, and I will say, John, you're done here. Because the audience is sick of you anyway. And we don't hang up on people, and we didn't hang up on him. We're just not putting him on anymore.
Okay.
So, John, go back to calling the other shows that we know you call. I'm sure they'll be happy to hear from you. And I'd like to talk to Leonard. Leonard, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, Frank. I'm AM in the beat.
Thank you, Leonard.
And I just want to talk about the bridge. I live on the east side. About the bridges.
Okay.
What? They were talking about the Martin Luther King Bridge. Nobody was using it the first day it was open. That's because they still had the close signs up on the billboard.
Oh.
That'd be a good reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and once they get that bridge open, then Lida Cruson decide to close the East Bridge. So we're still down one bridge coming across the river.
She just closed that one at night, though.
Right, it kept on the racing, wasn't it?
Which one? The Eads Bridge?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the Eads Bridge, yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Leonard?
No, it just kind of... I just kind of laughed about that when I was coming across and I saw the close signs because I used to pop the street.
Okay. All right, Leonard. Thank you.
He's got a point.
Okay,
that would be a
key.
After 2 years of having the bridge closed and making all those $1 million of renovations, you think somebody could turn the sign from closed to open?
Right.
You think that'd be somewhere in the itinerary?
Not in the budget.
Not
in the budget. I get the pleasure every Tuesday, because that's the way the schedule is set, to talk to you about Johnny Landolf Chevrolet. Styx did it yesterday. I'll do it today. Styx is John Landolf III. I am not a Landolf. I'm not related to the family. But I've only actually known John Landolf for 16 years, something like that, about 16 years. That's a long time, but I've known other car dealers longer. I haven't liked every car dealer that I have known. In fact, some car dealers I've known, I didn't like at all. Some of them I liked okay. I've probably worked in this capacity for over the years, eight car dealers. And for various reasons, they came and they went and somebody else came along. A couple of them, I decided to drop them myself, but nothing is forever and, no account lasts forever. No advertiser is on forever. But I do dread the day when we don't get to speak for or to Johnny Londoff anymore. And I'm sure that day may come. And maybe, well, maybe it'll come because I'm not doing this anymore. That would be the way I prefer for it to happen. And if it does happen and I'm still doing this, hopefully we will connect with another good dealership that we feel good about sending you to. Because the truth is, there is no one and only one great vehicle. Okay. Chevrolet is not the only good line of vehicles produced. There are others. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet is not in the whole country or even in the St. Louis area the only, you know, respectable, well-run car dealership. But I don't know that I can personally name anybody better. And the other thing is, every car dealer over the years has had an opportunity to be part of this show if they wanted to. They just didn't happen to see the value in it, like the people who did decide to come on board. And about 16 years ago or so, that was what John Londoff did. Now, there was a car dealer, I'm going to say this was about 8 years ago, 9 years ago, no, more than that. And one of the salespeople at the radio station at the time came to me and said, hey, they're interested in having you speak for them. And I said, go back and tell them no. And they said, well, they'll pay, you know, top dollar. I said, triple the top dollar, and I'll still tell them no. And you tell them that the owner will know why. And I knew that as soon as they told him that, he knew. Don't email me and ask me who it was, because I'm not going to tell you. But it was a matter of that I knew something about the person that a lot of other people didn't, and I just, it's not somebody I wanted to do business with. I'm very happy to be doing business with Johnny Londoff, for Johnny Londoff to be part of this show. And I get your emails, and am I going to sit here and tell you that every single email I've ever gotten about Johnny Londoff was, woo, they did everything perfectly, and down the line, 1 out of 10, it's a 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. Every once in a while, somebody slips up. You got 120 employees, somebody's going to have a day when they're not feeling well, they're in a bad mood, or they're getting a divorce or whatever, and they make a mistake on a bill of sale, or something happens. That happens occasionally, but here's the thing. When it does, it is immediately rectified and made right, made better, usually, than had it just been done perfectly. And that's not often. But I've always appreciated anybody who, whether it's an individual or a business, when they make a mistake, they own up to it and say, wow, we kind of messed that up. Let's make it right. Let's make it better than right. And that's what they do on the rare occasions. Things just don't go well. I got chewed out by a listener a long time ago. It was another dealership. And man, she sent me a scathing email. I only bought this truck because of you. And then she went on and on and on about how the dealership screwed her over and the payments were a lot more than they told her they would be. Well, come to find out, because I went and we dug up the paperwork, she had misled them about what her trade-in was worth. Actually, about what she owed on the trade-in. And she blamed that on me and the dealer. And she tells the dealer, well, I only owe $5,000 on my trade-in. So that's what they ran the initial numbers with. Turns out she owed $9,000. Big difference. So the payment wasn't what they initially said. That wasn't their fault. It was her fault. So I can't imagine the kinds of people that any business has to deal with from time to time. But here's the good news. I never get a bad report card about you folks who are AM and the PM. Our advertisers love dealing with you because you come in with just a different attitude, a more upbeat attitude. You seem to be happier. That's what they tell me. When your listeners come in, they seem to be happier. Probably are happier. So thank you to everybody who has ever, because of this show, bought a vehicle from Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, whether it's North or the Autoplex now in St. Peter's at 70 and 79, where they sell exclusively pre-owned. So you know the deal. Give them a shot. At least just give them a shot if you're in the market. And always remember to tell them you're AM and the PM at Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, 24/7 at Londoff.com. Dan Buffa is in today. If you have discovered a great movie, TV show, whatever, please feel free to call and share it with us.